to Lift Off Journeys, everybody. I'm your host, Jeannie Weldon, and today we have an extra special treat. We have Jarrett Preston with me. You may recognize him from our TV show, where he's joined me for a number of episodes. So let's get behind the scenes a little bit with Jarrett today and find out more about what motivates him and his journey, because on the show, you're going to be hearing all his great financial tips and advice. But Jarrett, welcome to Lift Off Journeys.
Thanks so much, Jeannie. Good to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast because now we get to dive deep into conversations that time is short on the TV show that we don't get to have. And the first question that I always ask people who come on the podcast is, tell me a little bit about what you do today and then tell our audience a little bit about your story on how you got to this point in your career.
I'd be happy to. Today, I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Idoneus. We're a Swiss company that focuses on value exchange. So we have a luxury asset exchange platform that integrates the real-world physical assets with blockchain technology. And my job is to bring and work together with an extraordinary team and bring our vision to a reality. And I've been doing that for the last 4+ years with Idoneus. And we've taken an ancient model of asset trading and barter into the modern world, right? Integrating technology and digital currency, fiat currency, physical assets, kind of all together in one world as value is changing and how it's exchanged is changing. And we're leading that effort for most of that market. So that's what I do today. I arrived there, kind of a long and interesting journey. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest in a very small town, about 2 hours outside of Seattle, Washington, a long way from the luxury asset trading markets of Switzerland and Dubai and other markets of the world that we work in today. But in a place where value became a very important lesson for me at a young age, you know, and learning about what was valuable and how value is created and how it's sustained and how it's traded and you know, what people perceive as valuable. It was a very early lesson for me and resulting in me moving into different areas. For example, I went to the Marine Military Academy, which is a private military school, and then the United States Marine Corps and Virginia Military Institute. And in those environments, again, you know, it was more about values, right? And what personal values will propel you to define a market niche and define your position in the world. And that mentality that I learned in those years really took me forward into an entrepreneurial endeavor in my young 20s, which gave me an opportunity to get more into the real estate sector and asset sector through a publication and marketing company we had in that industry. And, you know, one thing led to another. And by accident, almost, I landed in the asset trading space where I learned that there were many forms of value that were not being monetized or utilized in perhaps the most efficient manner. And over the course of the last 25 years now, we've focused exclusively on that subject, how to contribute more value, how to exchange value more securely, more beneficially. And that led us to where we are with Idoneus today in Switzerland.
Such an incredible story. And I think, you know, it starts with what affected you at a young age with a value system and instilling that in you. And thank you for your service. My daughter, one of our daughters, goes to the Citadel and she's commissioned into the Army. So I tell her that this is going to create just a value system inside her, similar to what you said, that when she gets out, she's definitely bound to be the CEO of some company somewhere. But I love the fact that you pulled it all together and taken something that's so personally valuable for you and shared that with the world through asset trading, through a variety of different mechanisms. Where do you think your knowledge is having the most impact? Is it helping the world understand different ways that they can create value and different types of asset training, especially with blockchain, which isn't new, but it's still pretty new? Or do you think it's just looking at financial opportunities holistically and identifying where the biggest moves are?
It's a great question. You know, I think that for our high net worth clients today, probably the integration of blockchain technology and the mobility that we can create for our clients and the new efficiencies that we can create, allowing people to move in and out of assets so swiftly and securely, is really valuable for those clients. But I think probably for the masses and for many people that I come across and speak with and meet with and talk with, it probably really is the simple reminders of what value is, and not just to chase what we see so much occurring in this culture, I would say, which is the pursuit of attention, the pursuit of followers, the pursuit of clicks, the pursuit of pricing or following of pricing. You know, I always say, you know, pricing has nothing to do with value, right? You know, and yet we have some people to talk about the price of everything and know the value of nothing. So I think really getting back down to probably one of the greater values I bring to people in my world, maybe they would tell you, is to really dial back down what is valuable to you and what value can you provide the market? You must know those two answers, right, to go anywhere in the situation today.
That's interesting. So do you see value as asset-based value, meaning this is valuable to me, or do you see value as a goal in your life? And what's valuable to me is to be financially successful and stable enough that I can retire early, or how do you look at the definition of value?
Well, I think we have to look at both sides of that, obviously, you know, and you know that recently I had a book that we wrote and on the subject, and we talk about both aspects of value, right? What really defines value for us personally, and then, and how do we convey that value in the marketplace? And then, you know, what are we really pursuing? Is what we are pursuing valuable? I have many clients who have spent their careers decades pursuing wealth in a certain way, only to collect many incredible things and then call us because they want to own anything but those things.
Yeah, I love that. Did you happen to see the Air movie that's out?
No, but somebody was just telling me about that.
Yeah, there's a scene in the movie where the, you know, sports agent is just, he's not a nice person throughout the entire negotiations. And you know, Matt Damon says to him in his role, he says, you know, you must not have any friends. And he's like, no, but I'm rich. And when I sell my company, I'm going to be having dinner by myself, but I'm going to have a lot of money. And at the end of the movie, it shows him eating dinner by himself. And it talks about how much money he sold his company for. And, you know, it's really interesting because some people get so focused on that goal to just monetize as much as they can in their life and just earn. They forget about the other elements of life that are important to them. And so I always find it fascinating when I run into people that, you know, tell me they want to be day traders because they feel like there's some immediate way to make significant amount of money and they just want to be rich. So what are your thoughts on day trading?
Well, it's kind of the exact opposite of the value trading that we focus on, right, at Adonius. So I'm not a fan. I think it's very, I mean, there's very knowledgeable people that do very well in it, but I think it's very high risk. And for me, it doesn't have enough substance to move the needle. You know, for me, it's not interesting enough. But I think if someone's only goal is to make money and that they're very skilled at that, then they should do it. I have a client that is worth billions of dollars that built one of the biggest high frequency trading firms in the world. And he was very successful in that space and now can pursue all different forms of value. So I'm not against it. It's not my passion. But I think that as we noted, the key is to know where you're headed and what that value will be. You know, we talk about many of the world's most successful people. When we think about the general terms of value, you ask Steve Jobs, for example, on his last year of life, or any of us, what would you give for five more years?
Right.
Well, the answer would be astounding, right? I mean, the islands and the millions and the yachts and all these things people pursue, they would all be coming back for five more years. I mean, time is obviously our most valuable asset, and we realize that more and more as we get older. So we focus a lot on that at Adonius, you know, because sometimes one segment, one season of life demands a certain type of attention and focus and then brings a certain type of value. But another season, that asset, that whatever that is that we were pursuing previously isn't valuable in the next season. So you've got to be able to move out of it. You know, mobility is really important when we talk about value. How do you move in and out of different forms of value? That's where we live. And we wake up in the middle of the night thinking about how to add value in that way.
Yes, absolutely. Now, do you think the types of assets, are there any assets that consistently hold their value? For instance, gold. I know, you know, if you listen to any of the podcasts that less high net worth people like myself or the rest of our listeners are listening to, there's a lot of discussion on where do you put your money? Do you invest in the stock market, in bonds, and do you put it into, different types of savings programs? Do you put it in silver? Do you put it in gold? And, I'm always curious when I speak to somebody that's as financially astute as you, as what your thoughts are in putting your money into, assets that have a limit to them. I heard a podcast and there was a big debate on gold versus crypto because there's no limit to the amount of crypto you can buy, but gold has, there's only so much gold that you can invest in.
Good point. And the same with fiat, right? You've got gold or crypto or fiat currency. What do we think is going to be the highest performing situation? I mean, gold is not an asset that's going to bring you and work and bring you returns, right? But gold is going to hold value and grow steadily. It's not like owning a cash flowing business. I would say the answer to your question depends on the situation of the person and their financial or the company or the family office or the institution. Very different answer, right, for different people. But I think for the average person, the key is to be diversified into asset classes that they understand. And this is no time to get exotic, right, with new things that we don't understand. I think an element of that is okay in a small percentage, but I would say we know what real estate has done as a hedge against inflation over the many past decades and centuries. It's been a great holding, right? It also has significant cash holding costs. So you have to factor that in. I think income producing real estate is very important. Location is obviously very important with real estate. But looking at assets that provide mobility, gold coins, silver coins, precious gemstones, fine art, again, depending on your level of net worth and your level of experience in those asset classes, the key I think is to be diversified and not be stuck in one asset class, and be able to have freedom to move in and out. And that's what we focus on.
Yeah, diversification just makes so much sense no matter who you are. And you brought up something that was.
If I can tell you, even more than diversification, mobility today is even more important than diversification. Being diversified is no longer enough. It was amazing for the past 1,000 years. It's no longer enough. Mobility is really key. Like, can you move your value? Can you move it swiftly if you need to? Can you move it geographically? It's very hard to move $10 million in real estate from one location to another part of the world, right? So, I mean, sadly, look what's happening in the Eastern Europe. Look what's happening around the world. These people are learning very quickly that mobility is critical in your planning, right? Not just diversity. So, just one
Yeah,
point.
it's an aspect that I had not thought of until this conversation, but I think you raise a really good point, especially looking at just the state of the world today and with everything that's going on geopolitically, but environmentally as well. If you own a lot of real estate in an area that's not traditionally hit with crazy weather, and then all of a sudden, tornadoes, earthquakes come through, it could have a serious impact on what's happening. And I was talking to some construction investors recently, and they were saying, right now in today's housing market, cash is king. If you have all of your money tied up in loans with the high interest rates, you're not going to be able to continue to invest in your business, to continue to invest in real estate as it grows. If you've got cash, though, you still have that freedom. And I do think, what you said, that comes from the mobility to move your assets around,
You got
which
to be
is
able to move
really
now. We have people we meet today that have built fortunes of maybe $50, $100 million, for example, in certain countries, many locations around the world, not places that would surprise you. And they can't get the wealth out of the country. They can't move the assets. They can't move the real estate. They can't move the businesses. So what are you going to do if you're in a country with 40, 50, 60, 80, 100% inflation and you can't move your asset base out? Yeah, it's a tricky balance. So I think, I like precious metals. I like real estate. I like fine art. I like investing in businesses that cash flow. I like investing in yourself. I think it's the number one place you need to invest. Invest in your market knowledge and your intel first, and go from there.
Now, so for those of us that are not high net worth, like a lot of your clients are, that are just living an average day and trying to make the most of the money that we have in the midst of this potential recession that nobody wants to commit that we're in yet, with interest rates going crazy. What's some advice that you have for people who are making enough to cover their bills, invest in their 401k, and still have a little bit of money left over? Are you suggesting an investment strategy is the best route for them? I know your answer is going to be it depends on what's valuable to you, what your, status is. Do you have kids? Are they going to go to college? Things like that. But how much liquid should we keep free in our savings accounts versus, or fairly quickly accessible versus where should we be investing long term as the market, will start to calm down and recover?
So I'm a little biased because I'm an asset trading expert. That's what I focus on. So I'm not
Okay.
so focused on the fiat side. But to try to answer your question, I'll use an example of my 14-year-old son. He came to me at about 10 years old, and he said, "Hey, Dad, I want to start investing. How can I start investing in gold and silver?" I said, "Well, you don't have that much money, son. So you might want to start with silver at the time, right?" I go, "You may have a little tiny bit of gold." But here he is four and a half years later, and he's learned this very, very simply. So it doesn't matter how little you have. I mean, he started investing in silver, and watch what that's done over the last 4.5 years, and then silver into gold. And then he comes with his cash. He says, "Dad, I need to move out of this cash. I need to get into some silver and some gold right now. Let's make this thing happen." It doesn't matter if it's $30 at a time, $50 at a time, $100 at a time. I would say if you're already, investing in your 401k and you're paying your bills, first thing is, we need to decrease our bills going into recession, right? Decrease any bills possible and utilize that additional capital to have a cash reserve, all of us, and also an investment in something really historically solid. And, everybody has different opinions about silver and gold, but if you look at it over the last few centuries, it's done quite well. And it may not do as well as other asset classes, but you won't see the volatility either, right? Typically.
Yeah, and what happens if you make a mistake? What happens if you have the best strategy? One of our daughters was investing like crazy into Tesla in the earlier days. The stock was splitting. She was making all this money. She had more money than I think all of us at one point in time, just from her continued investments in the split. And then everything changed with Tesla. And now here she is back on the same level as some of her other siblings. And the market changes all the time. Or you make a big mistake. You thought something was going to be very worthwhile, a piece of real estate or a piece of art, and then you find out that it's not. How do you recover from that? Is it just sucking it up and doing the best you can? Or is there a different strategy that you should use or being more cautious? What do you think?
Well, I've certainly made many big mistakes so along the way, and I think as you said, maybe sucking up is part of it. But I mean, mental strength is a really big part. The mistake isn't going to kill you. It's how you respond to the mistake, and if you continue on in that same pathway, right? So we have to assess where went wrong, and make sure we don't repeat that situation again. And the first thing is that mental resilience to quickly assess what's happened, and try to adjust however we can. Obviously, there are many scenarios that could be. And then move forward with that knowledge, but don't, there's no magic pill for that. We're going to make mistakes. Nobody has a perfect crystal ball into the future regarding the market conditions. None of us do. And I think the key is to be as swift to make adjustments as you possibly can be when we see that we've made a big mistake. One of the big mistakes and that really people make is that they know they've made a mistake and they sit and do nothing for months and years, sometimes several years. And talk with a lot of clients about that when they buy an asset that they wish they hadn't bought, and they kind of wait, they kind of dabble with the exit strategy, and then you lose the market, you lose the opportunity in the market to exit at a decent price or at all. Sometimes not at all. And that's the biggest key. Do not wait. Take immediate action. Seek expertise that can help you move out of that asset class, whatever it is you invested in, and then regroup and restart.
Now, are you a fan of following your gut and following your instinct, or are you kind of focused on here's what the data says, always looking at the historicals, educating yourself, and only making an educated decision?
I think it's good to have the education in the background on any situation that you're looking at, but I'm big on instinct. I don't care what the data says. I'm big on instinct. I'm big on looking at people. If you're talking about investing in anything that has to do with people, right? People behind it, then I want to know who those people are and be very, very comfortable with those people. I think it's amazing. Some of the news stories we've all read about FTX, all kinds of things in the last year, you wonder how it occurred, and then you look and go, well, they must have ignored the people.
Yeah.
They must have been just looking at the data and the paperwork and ignored the people. So I think it's really important that we use our instincts when we're looking at making any investment and go, hey, does this make sense, right? Just common sense. Like I was driving with my daughter the other day who just started driving. And I was telling her, look, there are the rules on the road. There are the laws of the road and you follow the laws. However, if there's a dump truck coming down the lane directly at you, you don't stay in the lane. You move out of the lane, right? At the end of the day, it's common sense and we've got to respond to whatever condition we're thrown into. So yeah, I'm big on instinct in those moments.
Yeah, me too. And a friend of mine worked for a company where the CEO, when he was presented the financials, if he didn't like them, he would ask for them to be changed based on whatever information. No, that's not right. I think we make more money from here. Or that seems like, I'm pretty sure we have more money in this account. And people would just take him at his word because he was a CEO. Now, everyone was shocked when the company becomes financially insolvent. And, you know, she said, I couldn't believe it. You know, the entire time, she's like, I'm thinking, isn't anybody going to fact check anything? Why are we just taking this man's word because he's the CEO? Now, it's so interesting. And she's like, I knew something was wrong. I knew it. I knew I needed to start looking. And so she ended up fine. But, you know, it's sometimes the rules and the data aren't actually the right way to go. And you do have to follow your instincts. So you're an entrepreneur, you are military, you're a CEO, you're an author, you're a speaker, you're a dad. Which one of those is your favorite?
Definitely being a dad is my favorite. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You know,
even with the driving, because the early part of driving is a little scary.
Good. She's good. You know, it's we have four kids, right? Three girls that are teenagers still. And then one boy. So it's definitely a lot. But I think being his dad is my favorite title, period. And it's what all those other titles are for, right? All those other things I do are for them. So it's, you know, my greatest treasure.
That's fantastic. And such a great way to wrap up our conversation. Out of all these incredible things that you've done, you've become so intelligent and able to help so many people build their dreams and build their future. But most of all, you're building an incredible family with, it sounds like, a lot of great memories. And that's fantastic. So thank you so much, Jarrett, for joining us on Liftoff Journeys. And I'm looking forward to see the feedback that we get from all of our listeners on this one.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeannie. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
You too.